Hi, it's Sierra Miller. I can't wait for you to check out my new collection of shoes and accessories at Designer Shoe Warehouse. If you love shoes as much as I do, then trust me, I got you. From cute sneakerinas to the perfect flip-flops to stunning heels, these shoes are all style, no drama. It's a girl's girl summer, and DSW has just the shoes. Shop the Sierra Miller collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Why have I asked my HVAC guy I found on Angie.com to change my grandpa's trachea tube? Because I was so amazed by how quickly he replaced our air ducts. I knew I could trust him to change Pop-Pop's tube while I was on vacation.
Make it quick, young man.
Aw, see? Pop-Pop trusts you.
I think we should call a doctor.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
It's time to turn your garden into a smart garden on News Radio 830 WCCO. Smart Gardens, an hour of expert advice and answers to all of your lawn and gardening questions. You can call 989-9226 or text us at 81807. Now, here's Denny Law with this week's Smart Garden.
Yes, indeed, and I am. Good morning, by the way. I am joined by Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning, Denny.
This is it. This is
the
last weekend of May.
Yes.
What can we be doing outside now?
You can be planting your vegetables. Don't plant your. I think it's a little early still for the tomatoes and things. I think the ground's still a little cold for that. But you can be planting your vegetables, mowing your lawn.
Lawns look great.
You know, you don't have to water if you've gotten enough water. Don't overwater. Those are the kind of things you can be doing, you know, putting in your pots and your annuals. And
what are you going to be doing?
Well, they're tearing up the streets in our neighborhood.
Uh-oh.
So I get to remove bricks from the boulevard.
Do they hire you to do that, or is this just on your own?
No, this is something I have to do because I put bricks out on my boulevard as a boundary. So I need to move those in case they want to redo the curbs. So.
Didn't you tell us in the past shows that...
you're not supposed to put stuff
on No, yet. That you do, you kind of let your lawn...
I don't have a lawn.
You don't have a lawn?
No.
What do you have instead of a lawn?
All I have is trees and shrubs and plants and... That's all I have.
But that looks great.
Well, no, it's kind of messy, but it looks... The little kids are all playing outside when I came home yesterday, and they all said that I have the forest garden.
Ah.
I have the forest house. That's what I have. So I have a lot of fruit trees, and they all wanted to come in and play and get lost.
Play in the jungle.
They wanted to play in the jungle and get lost. And I said, well, you can't get lost because there's a fence. So you just keep going in one direction, you'll find a fence.
Well, if you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, you want to talk to Teresa Rooney. Master Gardener with us this hour. Let me give you the phone number and the text number, 651-989-9226, or send a text, 81807, 81807. We're already getting those, Teresa.
Excellent. So. You know, can we give them the extension?
Oh, let's do that.
Okay, so it's extension.umn.edu, or you could go to extension.umn/YG News, Yard and Garden News. You can sign up for the Yard and Garden News, so you'll get all kinds of cool information every week. Like this week, you could learn from Mary Meyer's how to read plant labels. and what to do and how they originated. And there's just fascinating stuff on there.
There, that website is...
It's pretty amazing,
isn't
it?
Unbelievable. Yeah.
And there's all kinds of links to more stuff if you want to investigate more stuff. And yeah, especially, you know, after you get over doing all your Memorial Day stuff on Monday, it's going to be rainy.
Yeah.
So go and hang out by the computer, grab a cup of tea or the beverage of your choice and...
extension.umn.edu.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Or what was the other choice?
Or you can go to extension.umn/YG News, Yard and Garden.
Yard and Garden.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I bet you can Google a lot of
that.
You can Google all
of that, because who can remember these things? You
all
know?
Of that.
But once you get there, then you bookmark it. Then you don't ever have to remember it again, and you can save that space for other important things like plant names.
Here's a text, Teresa. By the way, text number 81807. A burning bush is about 5 feet high. There's only one branch with a green leaf. All other branches look dead. Any chance it'll come back? If we cut back to near ground level, do we have a chance to save it?
You could give it a shot. Mine hasn't leafed out much either this year. There might just be some dieback in there. So instead of just cutting it back, what I'd do is I'd start at one of the dead-looking branches, and I'd just start cutting and cutting like every 2 or 3 inches till you get to green wood. And then just leave it at the green wood and see if it leafs out that way. You also might want to look at the bottom to make sure it wasn't girdled by bunnies, or that you don't see any holes in there, because they are susceptible to some borers too.
Okay, let's go to the phones. Teresa, Brian is calling in from Coon Rapids. Brian, you're on with Teresa.
Hi, Brian.
Hello. Yeah, I just had a question about transplanting some chokecherry bushes.
Mm-hmm.
They got planted too close together.
Okay.
So I'm looking to spread them out. When would be the best time to do that?
You know, you could do it right now. Or wait till they're done, like in the fall, whichever way is best for you. They're just going to be, you know, bushes, and I'm assuming they weren't transplanted like 12 years ago. It was probably a fairly new transplanting, maybe from last year. So just dig them up and move them as soon as possible. Yeah, they'll probably be starting to flower, and you may throw it off a little bit, but don't worry about that.
All right. Very good. There's a line. Thank you, Brian. 651-989-9226. That's our phone number. Text number, meanwhile, 81807. Let's go back to the text messages. Here's one that says, just one of my silver maples is dropping hundreds of clusters of green whirlybirds with broken end branches. Is my tree okay? What are the signs of a dying tree?
It probably is okay. What you might be seeing is just, it could be some wind damage, because we've had some winds. It could be squirrel damage. Sometimes they're pruning stuff up there and things are falling all over. It could just be regular stuff coming down that you've just never noticed before, because it's a little bigger this year. Silver maples are pretty hardy. They are kind of a messier tree. They like to drop a lot of stuff. So just keep an eye open. It should be leafing out just fine, as long as that's not a problem. I wouldn't worry too much about it. And you can always call a certified arborist to come in and look at your tree on site, and they can give you a good recommendation. With any of your trees, you want the trees to have a root flare at the bottom as they enter the ground. So you want them to look like how a little kid might draw a tree with the little flare. You don't want it to look like a telephone pole going into the ground. Maples do tend to get girdling roots. So although it's a big tree, that's probably not the situation, but I would double check to make sure that's happening too.
If you have a question for Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, call it in or text it in like a lot of folks are doing. Let's see. Good morning. This one says, I have having easy care houseplants, but I hate constantly having to repot them. Do you know of any slow growing houseplants that are relatively easy to care for?
Oh, sure. There's a lot of them. The Sansevieria is pretty slow. Your African violets aren't that fast growing. And you don't have to always repot them in bigger pots. You can do what's called root pruning, so you don't have to keep putting them in bigger pots. You pull them out, and most of the time you don't need to repot these houseplants. But you pull them out, you cut about an inch or half an inch all the way around, so you're cutting off some of the roots and take off some of the bottom. Put it back in the same pot, give it fresh soil all around the bottom and the sides, and you can limit the growth of the plant, and you can limit how big those pots get. There's a lot, like Chinese evergreen doesn't grow that fast. There's an awful lot of houseplants that don't grow that fast. So think about some of the plants rather than your trees. Because sometimes you get palm trees and things like that. Those want to be trees. They're big, so they want to get big.
All right. Text number 81807. Let's go back to the phones, Teresa. Brenda is calling from Brooklyn Center. Hi, Brenda. What is your question?
Hey, Brenda.
Hi. So I have two great big lilac bushes by my driveway, mm-hmm. and this year there's barely any kind of blooms on them.
Mm-hmm.
They look like there's seedling from last year on them, but barely any blooms. Now it's they're old.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if it's because they're old and overgrown.
And did you prune them at all? Have you done any pruning on them?
Yes, it's very difficult to prune them, but that's the key to get them to come back?
Well, it depends, because they set their flowers right after they finish flowering the year before. So if you do any pruning in the middle of summer or the fall, you're cutting off all the flowers. Plus, any flowers on those trees are going to be up near the top, because that's the new growth. And if there's any extra shade, that's going to be an issue, too. If they're leafing out and they look fine, I wouldn't worry too much about it. This winter was kind of tough on a lot of plants, so you may see some dieback. Cut out what's ever dead. If you need to go ahead, go to the extension site, extension.umn.edu, and look at renewal pruning. And that will give you a really good idea how to bring those trees or those shrubs down to a bigger, shorter height. Still keeping flowers every year, but to add more flowers every year, too.
Okay. Thank you, Brenda. Texter says, can I plant zinnia seeds this weekend?
Yes, please do. Plant lots of them.
Here's an interesting question. Texter says, is crabgrass and corn a related plant?
Yep. They're all
grasses. Is that true?
Well, they're all grasses. They're all in the zea family, or all in the grass family. Corn is a grass. Kentucky bluegrass is a grass. Fescue is a grass. Lemongrass is a grass. Quackgrass is a grass. Barnyard.
That's why you are the master gardener. I'm not.
They're all in the grass family. So, yes, even people eat grasses. We eat the seeds, though, in the corn. Don't graze on your lawn. That's not very good for you.
All right. Very good. Let's see. Let's go to Richfield. I think Carol is there with a question. Carol, good morning. You're on CCO.
Hi, Carol.
Good morning. I'm laughing. Corn is a grass.
Who knew, huh?
I have rhubarb. Okay.
Yes.
I visited a neighbor who also has rhubarb, but it looks totally different. The leaves are very dark green and real curly around the edges. Mm-hmm. Is that edible?
It depends. I don't want to say showy rhubarb. That's not the right word. There is one that's just a landscape rhubarb, too. You could look at it and make sure it is a rhubarb. You can always try to eat it. Some of the ones that are more for show with flash fancy leaves aren't very, they don't taste really good. But you could try it. It just don't eat the leaves, only eat the stalks, of course.
Okay. Yeah. Teresa, we need to take a quick break.
Okay.
All right, hang on.
Okay.
We have more show to come. If you want to chat with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, you can call in your question, 651-989-9226, or send Teresa your text, 81807. And good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, helping you out by phone and by text. And as usual, Teresa, we have a bunch of both.
Wonderful. Well, remember, if we don't get to you guys, please just go to the extension.umn.edu site or click on the Yard and Garden News and sign up for that, and you'll learn stuff, too.
We're thinking about going to the Arboretum this weekend.
Oh, how beautiful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I bet it's going to be, I bet a lot of folks are going to have
I think
there.
A lot of folks.
A lot of color, right?
Yep. A lot of tulips, a lot of color. And we're supposed to finish up the big castle twig building or whatever it is. So that's out there too this year.
So I look forward to that.
With all kinds of towers and everything.
But yeah, check out that website. We would like to remind you that every week, the university's website, extension.umn.edu.
And Jeff Hahn has a really good article on Japanese beetles there.
All right.
So about when to treat the grubs and all kinds of stuff. So if you've had beetles before, or if you have a lawn, if you don't have a lawn, you don't have to worry about grubs.
But
if you have a lawn... And our Japanese beetles. Go and check Jeff's
Jeff knows
article.
His stuff.
Jeff knows his
entomologist.
Stuff.
Yeah. All right, back to the phones. Okay. Let's talk to Beth, who is calling from Minneapolis, I believe. Beth, you're on CCO.
Hi, Beth.
Hi. Two questions for you. One on the corbels and one on moss.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, this weather has been very enjoyable for moss.
Mm-hmm.
But can I just pull it out and put it in the garbage?
Sure.
I mean, is that the best way to deal with it?
Or throw it in your compost bin. You could do that, too.
Yeah, but I mean, it will, how shall I say,
It won't hurt anything.
It won't hurt anything.
You don't want to throw the moss. You'd have to put it in your yard waste bin, not into your household trash bin. And wherever there was moss now, there's probably going to be moss later unless you change why it was there.
Okay.
So the conditions have to change. Just if you have the same weed coming back, Creeping Charlie or moss or dandelions, the condition that was good for that weed, unless you change the conditions, the weeds can reappear.
Okay. Now, the other question on the corabels. Mm-hmm. They're so beautiful, the colors, of course, mm-hmm. on the leaves. When you buy them, and the next year or the couple years later, they get, like, woody.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how can you just cut off a piece of woody stem, shall we say, and put it in, like, root growth and then plant it another spot?
I don't think that will work. I think you have to divide the crown, and it's a little tricky. I would go to the website on that one for sure. Sometimes they just send out runners too, and you can kind of root, but sometimes you need to divide the crown. I don't know that you can just root the woody stalks. I mean, you can give it a shot. I could be really wrong about that. That would be fantastic. But I'm not really sure about that part of it. Sorry.
Teresa, I'm going to get Cindy from Andover in here because we're getting text messages along the same topic. Cindy, you're on with Teresa.
Hi, Cindy.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
We have a boxwood bush
mm-hmm.
that looked like it was going to be fine this spring,
mm-hmm.
but the only green part is towards the bottom of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the top of it turned it looks dead.
Mm-hmm.
Greenish white.
Yep. It probably got some windburn, some sunburn, it dried out over the winter time. If you didn't water enough going into winter, because it isn't evergreen,
right.
It's not like a pine, but it is an evergreen, so you've got to water really well going into the winter. A lot of the boxwoods people plant, they might plant in a windy or exposed site or right next to the south or west side of the house, so it gets that hot sun in the winter time, and they just come out of dormancy and they just lose all their moisture. So what you can do is just, as with any plant where you're not really sure where the dead and where the live begins, start at the end and start snipping back till you come to some green wood. It may be that you lose the whole top of your boxwood. That means just next year, if you plant other boxwoods, maybe put up a burlap wall so that the wind or the sun are broken. You don't have to wrap your boxwoods, because what's the point of having a green boxwood that's all wrapped in brown? But you just want to break the wind, break the sun, and make sure you're watering it and plant the right plant in the right place. So not on a really windy west wind exposure where it's going to get too hot in the wintertime.
And Teresa, as I mentioned, that's the texter had the same question
mm-hmm.
as Cindy.
Yeah.
And that you've answered that. Burlap wrapped these in the fall. How do you, what are you saying to, if you don't have to wrap them, how do you keep them?
Just build a screen.
Just a screen. Yeah,
you just want to break the wind, slow down the wind a little bit, or you just want to give it a little shade from the sun. So you don't really need to wrap it up. You just make like a little screen.
Like a little cage with burlap?
You don't even have to do a cage. You could just do two sticks with burlap.
Oh, okay.
So you just have like a screen, and it's maybe to break the wind or break the sun, or you have one to break the wind, one to break the sun, depending upon how it goes.
Right.
Yep. And protect them. I don't know. They probably are eaten by bunnies, so.
Actually, you know, I didn't, there's
they
no
didn't
critter
get you,
that, no.
Wonderful.
There's been
wonderful.
Two or three years now. None
okay.
have been eaten by
well,
deer
I'm
or
sure girl. Next year the bunnies are here. They listen
if they're
to this
hungry
show.
Enough. Yes,
they listen
of course.
To this show. They'll know.
We have to take a break, Teresa.
Okay.
Hang on. We have another
right.
half hour of the show to go. If you want to call Teresa, 651-989-9226. If you'd rather text, we'll pick up on those too when we come back. That number, 81807. Good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. We're around every Saturday here on CCO. 8 o'clock hour. Hope you can join us from time to time. This morning, we have in studio our friend Teresa Rooney, who is a master gardener, helping you out today by phone and by text. Beautiful day today.
It's an absolutely gorgeous day.
Are you
going to
do get outside and do any work?
I will. I will be doing some brick moving and,
oh, that's right.
and then a little, probably a little weeding or something. I don't
all
know.
Right.
Yeah, it'll be pretty mellow.
Be a nice day for
it'll
you,
be
though.
Beautiful, yeah. I have a fancy tea to go to this afternoon.
Well, how about that?
Yes, one of my friends
time
won
for
one
tea.
In a raffle. Yes, it will be time for tea.
Let's go back to the phones, Teresa. Jerry is calling from Stillwater. Jerry, you're on CCO with Teresa.
Hi, Jerry.
Yeah, I'd like to ask you some questions. I got six seedless green ash in my yard, And how do I protect them from ash borer?
You can, there are chemicals you can use. You can get them on at your garden center. You can also have them treated by an arborist, a tree service. That is something you'll have to do probably for a very long time. I would also maybe consider planting some other trees in case the worst happens and they do get ash borer. They've now found ash borer out in the Minnetonka area. So, you know, Minnesota has the most ash trees of anyone in any states,
right? Yeah.
In the United States. So we're just like a you know, all-you-can-eat buffet for ash borer. So they can overwinter. They're fine. They're going to move. So don't move firewood. Only buy your firewood locally. Don't transplant trees from one area to another. Only buy your trees from good sources. And think about diversifying your yards. That's about it.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you,
good
Jerry.
Good luck. Sorry, I don't have any magical thoughts.
Yeah. But I never learned. I learned that just the other day, that we in Minnesota have the largest amount of ashes.
Yeah, yeah, we have the highest population, yeah.
651-989-9226 if you want to call in your question. Text is 81807. Here's a text. It says, I live in Pine County. Is the ground too cold to plant morning glory seeds?
Probably. Well, I don't know. You could plant them. They probably won't do much right now. I'd probably wait if you can. And then before you plant them, I'd probably soak them overnight so they germinate a little faster.
Hmm.
But they do overwinter for a lot of people, so maybe you don't need the warm soil. But they'll just, if you put them in now, they'll just germinate when they're ready anyway. So it's not like you can speed that up unless you soak them a little bit.
Okay, very good. Another text says, how do I get rid of fern and lily of the valley but keep hosta and others in the shade garden?
Sorry, I don't mean to laugh. Yes, I did. That's going to be manual pulling your weeds. You can also treat them with an herbicide. You'd have to spot treat. Make sure you get one that does not translocate in the soil, so it's not going to have any dicamba in it. That moves through the soil. It'll say don't use over tree roots, so that'll give you an indication right there that it can move over in the soil. And you're just going to have to manually pull most of them is what you're going to have to do. And just be really on top of it, because lily of the valley and some of those ferns, they're very, very, very aggressive plants. And so you're just going to have to fight with them.
Okay. Texter wants to know if I can still prune my apple tree.
Not really. There's no pruning police. So you can do anything you want in your garden at any time. There's always consequences if you do it at the wrong time. So right now your tree could get fire blight. It could get some more insect problems. So it's up to you what you want to do. But if you have to prune, just do the minimal pruning. But I would say no if you don't have to.
Okay. Back to the phones we go. Steve is calling from Hudson. Steve, you're on CCO. Good morning.
Hi, Steve.
Good morning, and thanks for taking my call. Okay. Thanks for a really great program.
Oh, thank good. You. Thank you.
We have had a really cold winter, and I have always tried different and new species of fruit trees. And so I've got a little input on how they survive the winter, and I'm wondering if you also maybe have found out some new varieties that are winter hardy.
Okay.
I've got a Somerset grape that looks like it survived really well and is going to have a good crop this year, and the grapes are delicious.
Okay.
I also have a contender peach. I've had it for about 4 years, and it's just delicious fruit.
That is a delicious tree, yes. The fruit is absolutely delicious, yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, it doesn't look very good. No primary buds left, so no fruit this year, but it looks like the plant may die. Mm-hmm. The leaves are just about an inch long now.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people, their peaches this year look pretty bad. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you found out anything after this cold winter?
That would be probably it. A lot of my apricots kind of died back a little bit, but they're older trees. And just understand that a lot of your fruit trees, they have a short life anyway, because they put so much energy into the fruiting and they have so much fruit that they're trying to, you know, propagate themselves. So they tend to get a lot of diseases and damages and things like that. But I don't specifically know any other special things that made it through the winter.
I'm going to grab some text messages, but right after Steve, who's calling in from, I'm sorry, Scott is calling on his cell phone, I believe. Scott, thank you for calling. What's your question?
Hey, Scott.
Hi. Can you top arborvitae? I have some that have gotten very, very tall.
You can. Is it the best thing to do? No, but okay. you can do it if it's getting too tall, if it's getting in the wires, things like that, then you have to. You can. It's not the best thing, but yes, you can do it. Try to only take off, you know, a quarter of the entire tree if necessary. And this is a good reason to say, you know, make sure you know how big the plant is going to get, and you might not have planted it. But also before you plant anything that's going to get taller than 4 feet, you look up and make sure there's no wires overhead, because you don't want to have to be fighting the wires.
Good point.
Good luck.
Texas says, my burning bushes were girdled by rabbits this winter. Can they be saved is one question.
Maybe.
Should I cut back the girdle parts, see what happens?
Yep, I would cut it back, because anything that's girdled, even if it leaves out, it probably won't survive too long because there's only so much energy above the girdles. So cut back and hope it resprouts from the bottom. If it has a healthy root area, there may be some life beneath the girdles, and it'll the girdled part or from the roots itself, and it will come back for you. Otherwise, it's just a reminder, read the Humane Critter Control book and protect your plants.
Yeah, now tell us about that book now. Tell us the title.
It's called Humane Critter Control. It's by me, but it's just pretty much just letting the animals do whatever they want, and you kind of figure out how to work with them.
All right.
Pretty much that's what it is.
All right, don't be mean.
Don't be mean, but there's so much we can do, and you can plant your yard in different ways and include different things and use fencing and just learn to love fencing and understand, hey, you've got to have fencing up there sometime.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't have to be a permanent thing, but you can keep it up there when you need it.
I'm not sure this is what I think it is, but a texter says, I have something with purple flowers growing in my lawn. What is it?
I think we know what that is. That's our friend. Well, it could be one of two things right now. It could be Creeping Charlie that will have little round leaves, or it could be little violets, which look like little pansies or little violets. So you need to figure out what the flower is and then treat it accordingly.
All right. Let's go back to the phones. Ginny is calling from River Falls, I believe. Ginny, you're on CCO. Good morning.
Hi, Ginny.
Good morning. Good morning, Mary. I have a question about a pumpkin vine, and it's a very old vine. I had gotten it from my dad many years ago, like back in the 70s, and I think the winter was very harsh on it because it is stone dead. But it always sends up new shoots into the yard that before I've always just went right over them and covered them up, because I would have a jungle of trumpet vine. And now there is about three or four of them inside my other flower bed, which I have lined with the weed cloth. But I was wondering how, and I'm going to have to try to dig them up because I want to save them.
Okay, what you can do.
How much of a root would I need, or how far would I have to dig, you know, to get enough root to start another plant?
Yeah, what I would try to do is where those shoots are coming up, if you want to save one or two of them, is go back between the shoot and the mother plant, maybe about a foot, and chop down. You want to cut that root. And then just leave that little trumpet vine there. Make sure it's still growing active. And then maybe as it gets a little bit bigger, then you can move it where you want to. But if it dies, you know it didn't have enough energy. It hadn't rooted out. But that's what I would do, is I would cut it from the mother, leave it in place, let it root out there for like half a season, and then move it at that time. Sometime in the summer, maybe when it's a cooler day, an overcast day, move it to where you want it back. And in the meantime, cut back your other one. And I would be surprised if it did not leaf out, or if it did not send up new roots from that area too.
All right, you can call in your question for Master Gardener Teresa Rooney this morning, or send a text, 81800. We only have about a million text messages. Here's one of them.
A million. We better do a speed text.
I should say, what should the soil temp be for planting tomatoes, sweet corn, green beans, etc.?
All different soil temps for those, but think of at least 60.
Oh, okay.
60 to 65 for all of those. You know, and if you're doing lettuces and stuff, they can be like 40.
All right. Quick break is in order, okay. Teresa. We'll be back. We have more show to come here, Smart Garden Show on CCO, around every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. And good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Teresa Rooney, Master Gardener, is in studio with us today answering your questions. And I'll tell you what, we have so many text messages. Can we get to them?
Let's try.
Let's do that. And then we're going to give you that website again for the U of M, as we always do.
And the Yard and Garden News.
Yes, yes, yes. I'm trimming, Texter says, large branches off a huge Scotch pine today. Is it? Oh, it just jumped. Where did it go? Where did it go? My goodness.
Well, if you're trimming your Scotch pine, you want to make sure that you're trimming the minimal amount, 25% of the entire tree at one time, the entire branch, the entire thing. It's okay time to prune them. And then, of course, with the Scotch and the Mugos and things like that, look for the little sawfly larva.
Is it okay, the Texas is to leave 6 feet or so, or is it better to cut right by the trunk?
No, you want to cut right to the trunk.
Okay.
Yeah, unless you want it to have that dead branch with the little thing. You don't want to leave a dead branch sticking out. You want to cut it with the trunk. Go to the extension website and do the three-part cut, and it will show you where the branch collar is, because you don't want to cut into the branch collar. You want to cut just at that branch collar, and that's something important to know when you're trimming trees.
Extension.umn.edu.
Yep, or just Google branch collar, like a collar on your neck.
Oh, okay, good. My lawn, Texas, has thousands of tiny maple seedlings growing out of the grass, 1 to 2 inches high. How do I kill those?
Mow.
Just cut them down?
Just mow. Yeah, if you guys don't mow your yards, they'll turn into a forest. So that's why you don't normally see trees coming up in yards, because people are mowing.
People
all the
mowing.
Time. Yep.
Texas, can I transplant my peony right now?
You can. It's not the best time. I would wait till August, if at all possible. Your peonies are starting to become ready to bloom, so it's not a good time. When something's going to bloom, you don't want to be transplanting it.
All right. Another text says this, my 7-year-old mulberry tree has nothing. Are they a late leafer?
I think they might be a little later. I've seen a lot. You know, we think it's pretty late, but it's been gosh darn cold out there.
It has.
And we haven't had any sunshine. And those are the things that help. And the warmth helps wake up the plants. So I'd give it a shot. I'd wait for it. I wouldn't give up on it. But I would also, if you want to go out there, you know, bend the branches. Are they still flexible? Then don't worry. It'll leaf out. You can start your little bit of pruning where you just cut inch by inch till you get to green wood. You may find green wood immediately. It's just taking time to wake up, and the soil is still pretty cold out there. So
here's another text. We have a 30-year-old maple tree that has buds on it but hasn't leafed out yet. It lost its leaves early last fall. Is it dying?
It could be. There is something where maples, just sudden maple death, which I laugh about when I hear that, because they don't know why it happens. Also, again, look at the trunk of your maple where it enters the ground. You want it to have a root flare. You don't want it to be going straight into the ground like a telephone pole. If it's going into the ground, you may have girdling roots, so you need to dig around the trunk and find that girdling root and cut it.
Okay. Lot of tree questions today. Here's another one. Very little leaves on my 15-year-old Cleveland Select flowering pear tree. This spring there are buds but did not open. Did the cold weather damage the tree, and will it be okay next year?
It'll probably be okay next year. You may have had some frosts in some areas, and those late frosts can really mess with the buds of the flowers. So if it leafs out, I wouldn't worry about it. You just don't get any fruit this year. That's a really great reason to always plant a diverse bunch of fruit trees in your yard. So if the pears or the apricots don't fruit out, maybe you can get the apples or the something else.
A texter says this, do you have any recommendations when transplanting white pines, any particular size that transplants well, 1 to 3 feet, should I use mulch when I replant them to hold moisture?
What I would do is I would plant the smallest trees you possibly can, and always buy the smallest trees you possibly can. They adjust better, they move better into the new location. You don't need to amend the soil with anything, because the tree has to learn to live in the soil it is in. You want to plant your tree so the roots are about an inch below the surface of the soil. That goes for all trees. So make sure, even if they're planted too deep from the nurseries or whatever, you need to plant them that deep. Make the hole wider than the pot or wider than what you've done. So you fluff up that soil. You backfill with the regular soil. If you must, you can add a little compost to make up the difference. And then mulch around in the area and keep it about 3 to 4 inches from the trunk of the trees. Make sure you, when you dig the hole, you fill the hole with water, let the water drain, put your plant in, backfill, water really well again, then put your mulch over, and maybe even give it another drink of water.
Okay. Having trouble finding pink honeysuckle bushes, other colors seem more available. I'm wanting to fill in where the original bushes have burned out. We haven't been pruning, but need to, as they are about 45 years old, blooming like crazy now, but scraggly.
Mm-hmm. Go to the website and learn about renewal pruning, extension.umn.edu, renewal pruning. That will help you with that. You may even want to call the Arboretum. Their library sometimes can help you find catalogs that may feature the honeysuckle you're looking for. Or the first place I would go is I would go to my local garden center and talk to someone there and say, this is what I'm looking for. Can you get it for me? Can you get it for me next year? Sometimes your garden centers are willing to do that. And there may be a reason why they can't get them anymore, too.
There's a texter, and it may be some misspelling here. It's about rhubarb. There's some rumors going around about poison-type rhubarb. It says this year is the worst ever. Can the weather turn rhubarb to poison? And if the stalks are mushy, could these stalks be non-edible?
Well, if the stalks are mushy, I wouldn't eat them because I don't know why they're mushy. Rhubarb, the leaves are poisonous, and sometimes at the later part of the season, some of that poison seeps into some of the stalks. It's not going to kill you, but it can make you kind of sick. But leaves would kill you, so I haven't heard anything about poison rhubarb.
Is it okay, texter wants to know, to kind of repeat the seeding, grass seed, every few weeks or so?
Well, you can, but I don't know why you would. That means you're going to have to constantly be watering, and you're not going to be able to mow, because as soon as the seed sprouts, it needs to get up about an inch or two before you mow it. Otherwise, your mower is going to pull it up. So don't keep overseeding unless you're overseeding like dog patches. Then you just reseed those and avoid those for a little while.
But you guys have said often that really the best time to seed your lawn is in the fall.
In the fall.
Right? August, September.
Right. The soil's warm. The nights are cool. It's moisture. You've got a lot of dew that will wake the seeds up, and you don't have that hot sun. It's not really good to seed this time of year.
I heard you say, texter says, that ground may be too cold to plant tomatoes. Can I plant other veggies, pepper, squash, cukes, and can I plant radish seeds, beet seeds?
You can plant those seeds. It's almost too late for radishes. They may not bulb out. It's going to get hot. They don't like the hot weather. Beets will be fine. All those other plants that you asked for, those are all warm season crops. I would just wait a little bit or get a soil thermometer and make sure your soil is at least 60, 65 degrees. As soon as your soil hits that, go ahead and do it. There's also some online you can find soil temperatures too.
Do you have to prune back clematis vines ever? Dexter wants to know.
No.
You don't?
You never have to prune anything ever. There's no law that says you have to prune something. But if you, and it depends on what kind of clematis it is, how you prune it, when you prune it, if you want to prune it. But no, there's no rule that says you have to ever prune your clematis. No. Mm-mm.
I know we have 60 seconds to go.
Oh, my gosh.
Can you speak to the pros, cons of laying down beneficial nematodes to combat Japanese beetle grubs?
Go for it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Read Jeff Hahn's article on the Yard and Garden Line. And also read Ann Sawyer's article about learning about garden myths. So what is Epsom salt and should you use it in your garden?
What's that good for?
That's what you have to read it for.
You've got to read and find out. Don't give away the story.
Basically, nothing. Don't use it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's not needed. No.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, but read Ann's article. She explains it better. Go to extension.umn.edu or go to extensionumn/YGnews and sign up for the Yard and Garden News and keep those gardens growing.
And get out today and this weekend.
Get out today and tomorrow and enjoy it. Even if you don't do any work, just grab a beverage and go out and sit and watch nature.
I agree. Thanks, Teresa.
Thank
you,
Denny. Good to see you.
Master Gardener Teresa Rooney here on CISO.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026?
If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products. We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.
We the people of the ballpark are all in on baseball. We deserve dingers and dogs, sunshine and a beat, a place to take it all in and let it all out. Baseball for the people. Baseball is something else. Visit MLB.com/tickets and spend this summer with us. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.